and welcome to episode 24 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on a Budget. And I'm joined tonight by my co-host, a man who occasionally dresses up as his TV iconic hero, Lily Savage. It's Russ from Scotland Surrey. Russ, how are you doing tonight, sir?
No words.
No words.
No
Do you
words.
Prefer Paul O'Grady or Lily Savage?
Neither.
I thought Lily Savage was actually pretty funny, to be perfectly honest, especially when they did Blankety Blank as a revival, going back to last week's game show hosts. I think Les Dawson was the absolute king of that one, though, to be fair.
Yeah, he was quite controversial, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, do you know what? It was probably one of the first times that was kind of go. But then again, Dame Edna Everidge was on the TV in the 80s. So, same thing, really. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. Anyhow.
I was just waiting to say, I'm going to have some slander claim one day against you. I'll make it when it's worth lots of money.
It can only be slander if it's not true, though, Russ.
Oh, right, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And also there's parody. Parody, you can't sue for parody. So there's that, and also, as I say, just flat out truth. So anyway, speaking of truth, Russ, let's get some home truths out of the way. How was your game week last week?
Awful. Just I didn't win a thing. And I know what we actually mentioned this last week about prizes and people chasing prizes and the game becoming a little bit harder. And I think we mentioned, was it like the points totals? Was that last week?
Yeah, I think it was last week. Maybe the week before, but it's been an ongoing process for the last kind of, especially the last 6 weeks since Europe came back, eh?
It's been an ongoing increase, and it has prompted, as you know, it's prompted me to make quite a few moves in my gallery. And ultimately, this weekend was the first weekend that I actually put... Last week we spoke about stacks. We didn't have enough time last week to go into just a few examples of some pretty good stacks for the next 5-6 weeks, but we are going to touch on it today later. However, this was the first time that I actually looked and decided to have a bit of a stack. I had two or three stacks in place this weekend, and I wanted to see how they got on. And although, amazingly, I didn't win a prize, I was actually really impressed with the overall, when your team wins, just the actual impact. So, yeah, it was disappointing not to win anything. And I know that there will be, you know, hundreds of people that listen to the show that are in the same boat, that they just are desperate to win a card or they're really wanting to win a card. And I was in that exactly the same boat. And, I spoke to 5 or 6 managers just in the last 48 hours. And some of these guys won their first cards, and some of them are operating on budgets of £300. I think a couple of guys have probably got about £1,400, £1,600 in. To be honest, some of the cards that they won, sat with somebody today as he opened these prizes, and it was 2 limited tier 3 yellows. It was like £3. However, it's something, and it's encouragement, I guess. So my week was a bit of a letdown in the fact of, from monetary value, but from an actual perspective of, am I on the right route, and am I doing something that's actually got the strategy that probably is deserving of the amount of time that I spend on the game and the amount of time I do research in football and statistics and things, 100%. So what about you?
Hi, Arith. That was the sum total of it. I was, every single team pretty much had something that let me down, whether it be a DNP or a keeper conceding 3. That's all of that rhymes. I'm a lyrical gangster and I didn't even know it. But yeah, it was something along those lines where a player let me down. Unbelievably, in my all-star team, I came out of Saturday with Ross McCrory after his near 100 points last week. He got me 33 points, including the bonus. And Kevin Van Veen, up against your team, Russ, 10 mm-hmm. shots, 10 shots, a penalty missed. And I think it was 3 big chances he had scored against them. 35.6 points after his run of scores. And had he converted maybe, say, 2 of those 10 chances, maybe even 3, I would probably been closer to actually winning a card this week. I still got 267 points, which was basically 200 points from 3 players on Sunday. Zainut Dinov, who actually sold on Saturday whilst I was at the Dundee game for £200. I thought, do you know what? £200 is £200. I paid a lot less than paid 120 for him. So I took the £200 and I bought him again yesterday for 150. So that was interesting. That's how you trade, folks. We'll come to that later. Derek Conn had a good game, and Sahin Radlinger again, another good performance from him, 57 points in a 1-1 draw. So that gave me the higher ETH. But when I looked down at Russ, I had things like Sieben Handel at Sturm Graz, DNP, Lauren Shankland on the bench, Sarkaria from Sturm Graz, DNP, goalkeepers conceding three. I had less than 15 points from each of them. So, and then I had Alan Forrest captained my underdog team, and he was a substitute as well. So, hit my rotation issues and what have you. But that had prompted a fair bit of overhaul as well, which I guess we'll come to in a little bit as well. But yeah, higher ETH. As I said last week on the video, or not on the video, on the podcast, I am looking to take those out on a weekly basis now and, use that to pay off my holiday because it's to be paid by July next year. And I could surely do that through that and maybe the occasional prize if I do pick something up. So, yeah,
Any scores over 60?
I had a few.
Who have you got?
Zainutdinov is probably, there's a reason I bought him back. He scored 77.3, no decisive, just an all-round score of 42.3. The new matrix is really working heavily for him. Now, he is playing as a centre back with a midfield card. Now, if he had a defender card, it'd probably be even better because he'd be getting the clean sheet bonuses and things like that as well. But with the duels being increased, he's winning, nine duels in that game. His passing, he's getting a point, a point one for per pass, 57 accurate passes, things like that. So his all-round score recently for his recent games has just been astronomical. So 42.3. So he's back in, and he's going to. I reckon he's going to anchor my team basically moving forward. Another one which Serer Canary is a big fan of is Marcelino Nunes, probably the best Nunes in English football, I would suggest.
Wow.
81.9 he scored. That was an assist, but an all-round score of, what was that? 20 odd points he got an all-round score of. So yeah, a few other ones there, Russ. Actually, my common cards were fantastic. Slonina 100. Van Dijk 81, so I had quite some, and Mbappe 78. Yeah, some pretty high scores there. Havard Nielsen, who I've now bought in rare, 69.3 with a goal line clearance for a forward rush. How's that for action?
Happy days.
So yeah, and a few scores over 60. There's a few more there, but a lot of the players who have now scored over those 60s were the limited cards that have now departed, Russ. So I think we should probably move a little bit into our strategy stuff that we're speaking about the last few weeks. This has been an ongoing process for the pair of us about, the way we've tried to restructure our galleries and the way we're looking at things a little bit differently again. And last week we ran out of time when you were going to be speaking about the stacks, as you just mentioned. So do you want to give a wee overview? Obviously, you watched your game on Saturday night, I think it was, Saturday into Sunday.
Yeah, so
And so yeah,
just
I'll
to
get
give you
the
the
floor's yours.
yeah, just to give you a bit of a sort of crossover into it then. Yeah, so like that, I had quite a few cards that were, high scoring points. So Ben Sebiani, I mentioned him a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. I'd been really looking forward to him making an appearance in my Champion Europe, and I actually genuinely thought I'd cracked it and hit the nail on the head this week because I had Jozef Jezici, who had found favour again at Lille. And of course, he was a DNP at the weekend because he moved. And he's moved back to Turkey, but he'd actually moved in between the games, so he missed both games. So he couldn't play for either. Had he played for either, I would have had a Champion Europe card again. But yeah, just again around the strategy of stacks and what we've been doing. So there's, for an example, my rare under 23 team scored 300 points this week and didn't win a card. Now, you're looking at that and going 300 points, 6 months ago, 9 months ago, that had you guaranteed to be winning cards. But the competition's fierce now, and that's what, I think we've reiterated it quite a few times, certainly to listeners and also to people that we know that we speak to on a regular basis, whether it's in person or DM. So the whole stack process that I've been trying to look around, what I wanted from a stack. So I wanted basically teams that were sort of top of, or top, certainly top half of their divisions, ideally looking for players that were affordable from an international perspective as well.
Yeah.
So someone that's maybe playing in a team that they're not going to be playing, let's be honest, more than likely for Italy or Spain or England, but maybe they're playing for, sort of Kosovo or Montenegro, and they're, an almost ever present. So I was looking for a bit of international utility. I certainly was looking for guys that are in winning teams where the teams are doing well and you're getting things like you say, where it's like duels won, accurate passes, your assists, your decisives, your goals. So I was looking for that, and I was also looking for, in an ideal world, European football. So what I did was I actually spent quite a bit of time and I looked at, and anybody can do this, just checked all the groups for all the, for the Champions League, the Conference League, and the Europa League. And I looked at all the groups, and then I went on to there and I looked at what cards, so I got all the teams, and I wasn't going to obviously want a team that had like, only seven players. So maybe they hadn't been fully launched or whatever. That was going to be no use. So what I thought was, right, okay, I'll look at what I've got in my gallery already. Do I have anything that I can use? Is there anything I can build on as a start point? So as you know, Real Betis are a bit of a fave of mine. Obviously, they're playing in European football as well. So that was an easy one. So I've started to build around them. And then I looked at the Turkish teams just because of the value. And I thought, right, okay, I'll go and have a look and see who's in Europe and who's playing, Europa League, etc. And I've started to build a few stacks around a couple of the Turkish teams. I did look at the team that is in the same group as Hearts, so Istanbul. I had a look at them, but they were lacking what I would class as your green point scoring. So the sort of 60 plus point scoring, they were lacking probably, I would say, two if you were building a stack with four. So I scrapped that and I'm building around at the moment, Fenerbahce and Trabzonspor, Real Betis, and my final plan, and I've not started it yet. So let's hope that everybody doesn't put the prices up. But I'm actually looking at Anderlecht as well, to build something around them for my challenger. One of the decisions, as you know, we've been speaking about the not just the stacks, but we've obviously been doing gallery overhauls and we're looking at trading and we're looking at ways to make ourselves money. And if we're making money and can prove it on the show, then I know that we know that other guys are doing this as well in the background, and some of them are following partly my lead, some of them are following your lead, and some of them are adding in their own little bit of trading strategies as well. But ultimately, it comes back down to the one thing. We're all wanting to win prizes and make money. And certainly, I would say the latter is the more important. Is that fair to say?
I mean, at the end of the day, for me, without that, I wouldn't be doing it. It's like my fantasy Premier League team. I forget to do it all the time because there's no monetary gain for me for that. So I forget about it all the time. But my Serie A teams are in at 2 minutes past 11 on a Tuesday morning for the weekend, So I totally get where you're coming from.
Well, so what I looked at was I looked at those stacks, and one of the things also was I was aware of that I had quite a lot of MLS cards, and obviously MLS is covered on Sky TV quite in depth now, and I thought to myself, do you know what? I'll have a look and I'll build around to either who's, sort of top half of the Eastern or the Western Conference, and I obviously had some Philadelphia cards. So I completed my stack last week for them. I was really quite unlucky actually at the weekend. Obviously, I had four out of five that actually started. And one of the guys that I was desperately hoping would come off the bench sadly didn't. And he's been playing every week until then. But yeah, my American stack was quite good. I had Eloy Room was the only one that, so my goalkeeper is Columbus Crew, but I had Jack Elliott, Leon Flack, Julian Carranza, and Olivier Mbezo. Now, Elliott, Flack, and Carranza between them got 230 odd points. Room got 70. So again, this was a 300 pointer with four players. One of the things that I actually watched the Philadelphia game, and it was on at midnight on Saturday in UK time, so it was sort of midnight till 2 a.m. But they look good. They look really good. They've got the young guy, Jack McGlynn, as well. So thoroughly enjoyed watching the game. Enjoyed the fact that all my players were in the same game. It was quite good. And I also felt that, it didn't cost an arm and a leg to build that team either. So it wasn't, your Ajax cost or your Celtic cost, etc. It was significantly cheaper. So did a wee bit of work around that. One of the, I suppose, just some of the teams, just very quickly, and I'll run through them just quickly. But Philadelphia, obviously, at the time when I did the research, you were looking at Elliott coming in at 0.14, Flach coming in at 0.13, Carranza's about 0.3, so he is quite expensive. But there was a range of defenders, including Mbezo, that you could get for like 0.05 ETH and things like that. So this is all on rare prices. Montreal are doing quite well, and the four players that I looked there were Alistair Johnson, Lapalainen, and those guys have got under 23 utility. I think it's Pietti you pronounce the midfielder, and Kwiotto. And you could get the four of them for round about 0.4 for the rares. Another couple of teams, just quickly. Austin, obviously doing quite well. They got beat 3-0 at the weekend there, but up until that, and you've got Cascante, Fagundes, Daniel Pereira, and you could either use John Gallagher or maybe Alex Ring or something like that. But again, those guys were coming in at about 0.5 for all four cards. And they're all scoring well. These are the guys that were the top for each position in the Opta scores. And finally, just to give another one final example, probably you could look at New York City. I'm not 100% sure if they're going to make the playoffs or not, but you were looking at Morales, Andrade, Acevedo, and Amundsen. I think it's a Danish guy at the back. And those guys are coming in at about 0.35 to 0.4 for all four. So, that's just an example of a stack that I think really for me, what I'm trying to do is get teams of three or four in stacks and just roll with it. It's certainly given me a lot less to check.
No, that's one thing. It does is less to keep an eye on, and like you say, when the team does well, you're going to be flying because you've got those players there that and they're hitting the numbers. So yeah, absolutely. My only thing against them is when the team has a stinker, or it's a 1-1 draw or something like that. It's maybe not going to be as good a score. However, like you say, you've actually researched the teams that you're looking for. It's not just a case of finger in the wind and pick a team, it's like you're actually going to look to those details. So I can see where you're coming from on those ones. As we've talked about, I had some mini stacks in the past, and that's the way that I basically ran. My America team last year at this time was the I would have at least two Atlanta boys. I had Guzan, obviously, big bald hero of mine, and Anton Walkes, I think it was, or either him or the other boy was Lennon, Brooks
Brooks
Lennon.
Lennon.
So I had one of the two. And then I had my three players from San Jose Earthquakes up top. And so, yeah, I had a stat. And when I got the benefit, I remember one week where I won a card and the front three all had decisives, but I was getting two decisive at once. A guy's assisting the other one. And then all of a sudden he assists the other one. And everybody's got decisives. And it did. It helped. It made a massive difference. So when you can get that bit of fortune, if I do look for a mini stack at the moment, I often look for, can I get the attacking player, the striker, and can I get maybe the winger or the key, midfielder that plays the passes and what have you? Or like what I've done with my Hanover team, I've got the attacking fullback, Derek Conn, and then I've got one of the strikers. So chances are crosses are coming in, and they had it 2 weeks ago, a decisive between the two of them. So now I'm looking at having the two of them in the same team. And I've actually just spoke to you just before we came online about maybe trying to, is it worth me looking at maybe a Hanover stack? Is there enough good quality players there for me to do that? But because there's so few of them at the moment, I think a lot of the German second league teams, for the new issues, there's only one rare, so you're paying over the odds if you do want to go and buy them. But yeah, it's quite interesting to have a look at, and it is a strategy. I know we've been critical of the guys with the Celtic and the Ajax and these type teams, the PSGs and all this sort of
They're
thing.
money teams.
It is basically a money game at that point. But I could see the other aspect of it because it's doing it on a budget effectively, which I should absolutely appreciate, because in effect it is building these squads on a budget. The only downside, necessarily, I would say, maybe obviously at some point getting the keeper from those to complete it, but I understand with some of these more premier teams, the price attached to the goalkeeper is much higher as well now, especially with the losing points for conceding and things like that. So no, I'm all on board with what you're doing, and I was keeping an eye on it and having a nosy Russ to see what was going on, and it was the missus, you used that line today at one point. She said, "Oh, I was having a nosy online," and I just burst out laughing. She was like, "What?" I says that's it's just a catchphrase now. But yeah, I did have a nosy and I was keeping an eye on it to see where it was going. And I thought you were looking good in a couple of them, and then,
Was,
as you
yeah.
say, scores start to come in, or a DNP appears, and you're like, God damn it, what's happening here is so yeah.
It's crazy, just the amount of times I've had conversations, and I've got a couple, as I say, group chats kind of going just with guys I've known a long time. And there was one of the guys was sitting as a he was quite excited on, I think it was on the Sunday morning, and again he was sitting really high up, and I was like, it's Monday night, you've got to look at that when there's only three or four games left. And if you're still looking really strong and you're sitting in a tier two at that point, guess what? You're probably going to win a tier two. Worst case scenario, drop to tier three. But yeah, it doesn't matter really where you are, unless you're sort of in that podium position, I think, or the top 10 on a Saturday evening, then it can change so dramatically. And there was me. I think I'm just having a quick look at the moment. I've got one, two, three, four, five teams just hovering around within sort of 5 points either way of 300 points. I've got a team that's got 311 points that didn't win a prize. Just on the prizes, I did a very quick little bit of research, and just statistic numbers just on, it was actually on the rares and the rare pros, because again, as I say, I think I messaged you on Sunday, to say that I was looking at going from playing seriously, let's rather than putting in the sort of the underdog team, which can be anything, and these teams that sometimes you're reliant on that number two getting a shot or that goalkeeper that had the shirt getting back in. So obviously I've been trying to play seriously 8 competitions a week, and that obviously came down from 9, and now I think I messaged you to say it was going to be 7. And the reason for that, the percentage of cards per entrance in the actual competitions. So under 23s with 14.7% of the players were going to win a card. This is the weekend past there. 14.7% rares. The under 23 pros was only 8.7%. The global, it's only 4% were actually, so 4% of the player base were winning the cards. The one that really shocked me actually, and we've obviously been championing this as it is a good way to get lucky, I think. It's the underdog, but underdog was actually only 2% of entrants. There's so many people obviously now looking, going, oh, I think I could maybe win underdog. But all it's doing is it's putting that extra thousands of players into the sort of the competition on a weekly basis. A couple of the impressive ones, Challenger Europe, 20%. So it might not be 20% after people have listened to the podcast and go, oh, do you know what? I'm going to move my team around now. I'm going to put it in Challenger, and maybe come down a wee bit. But 20% in Challenger, 14% in America, or the Americas, and 14.7% in Champion Europe. So based on the back of that, I looked at Global Pro. This was the key one that I was really looking at, was Global Pro, 5.8%. And I was like, right, okay, well, what's Challenger Pro? And Challenger Pro was 10%. So I'm actually going to ditch my Global Pro team, which is a wee bit of a shame, because I've got Tony Vilhena, super rare, who plays in Italy, and he's playing absolutely, he's playing really, really well just now. But I'm actually looking, going, I don't actually have use for that super rare card now. So if someone wants to give me a decent offer for it, I'll be more than happy. He is in good form. He'll be a mainstay in that team. He's on Ahan, as they say. Ahan, very good. I had him in when he was at Krasnodar in Russia, along with, you'll remember when I had Ordets and Kabela and Safonov and Vilhena, and those guys won me. That was that when I went on that streak of actually winning ETH all the time and midweek, and I was actually winning some quite good cards. So yeah, just having a look at it, and the Global Pro wasn't a thing that, over the last 5, 6 weeks, I've never once genuinely thought about ditching it, because I'm looking, going, that's just the versatility of the cards. You can throw in your spare Asian card that's playing well. So I've got, Savio, that I need to find a place for him. So obviously it was always going to be one of the global teams, because I don't run an Asian team. He's been out of form drastically at the moment. I think you maybe mentioned that you think maybe he's maybe due to move back maybe to Brazil. Would that be right?
Yeah, think so.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. then I could use them in my Americas. But yeah, just guys like Savio, and as I say, I've got a few champion sort of super rares and things. And I just thought, you know what? These guys are all going in Global Pro every week, but I've been playing it without an actual playing keeper, which has just been a disaster. So yeah, all change there.
Yeah, well, it's been all change here as well, Russ. And on similar reasons, we were discussing the prizes and how much the how many points you were needing for win prizes and things like that. I sat and had a look at how much I had tied up in my limiteds, and it was way too much. Now, it's been in the back of my head for a little bit to go back to two rare teams. I need a second goalkeeper, basically. But to get there, I was going to have to restructure and rebuild. And that's basically what I've gone and done. So between last week's podcast and now, I have gone down to just 14. In fact, I've just sold another one. So I'm down to 13 limited cards that aren't Dundee now. So that basically leaves me with my specialist team, effectively. I've got an underdog team I could put in, but it's more than likely going to just be the specialist team. I might pick up one or two here and there and start doing a wee bit of, very low-end trading, like I was doing when I was winning the prizes, Russ, where if I see that the prize, somebody's creeping over the under 40, or if they're creeping over the underdog place, I'll move them out and bring somebody else in. But I've made quite a lot of sales this week. I've still got a few more to go. But what I have done, I was sitting on Sunday night, right before the power hour, and I was having a look through, and I was like, right, okay, I'm thinking that these second tier teams, the champion second tier, some of these teams have actually got really, really good players in them, and they're scoring pretty well, and they're still under the radar. You can't really search for them, because they've not had a sale yet. So the one of a hundreds, it's not for collectability. It's just because, I'm looking at them going, right, okay, this guy's got an average of 57. Let's have a look at his background and see what his scores are. Or looking at the league in itself and say, right, okay, SofaScore has the top players and it's got them based on average rating, goals, assists, all these kind of stats. So I was going through them and trying to find ones I was like, right, okay. So I picked out a few and I was quite happy with it. I've just looked at my gallery there, Russ. The last 10 cards that I have bought, nine of them have been rare and one is a limited. And that was because I was wanting to, sell one and pick up another one to fit in my team. So I have picked up nine rares and one limited. So that's getting back to the ratio that I probably should be playing at. But if I get the rest of the cards I'm wanting sold away, I'll be sitting with about half an ETH. And that's getting me very close to being able to pick up a decent goalkeeper. But I've got one in mind. I'm not going to put it on the podcast because that would be silly now, wouldn't it? But I'm working on a few of those. But some of the players I've picked up recently, Russ. Where am I now? Look at this. So Daniel Dumic, he was one I got right before the podcast last week. Nicky Clark had picked up, and obviously he scored at the weekend. One game for St Johnstone, one goal. Imagine giving a goal scorer a game and he's scoring goals, eh, Russ? So
Indeed.
yeah, I thought, do you know what? He's been loyal to us. Let's be loyal to him. Get him in the gallery. He's in the underdog team this week. But then, as I say, I looked at the few of the French ones and I picked up a midfielder, Antoine Lotte from Amiens, and good scores, average of 55 for the last five. And I paid 0.1 for him. There's a little bit of a bidding war was going on, and it was tit for tat, and it was sitting at about 0.07, and I knew where it was going. The last sales had been 0.15 and 0.2. So I just went, fuck it. 0.1, bang. I'm not pissing about it anymore. Go to 0.1, and if I don't get them, fine. There's loads of other ones. And I got them. I pushed out the guy who was trying to get them, who, interestingly enough, had already bought one and was trying to buy this other one as well. And I'm like, okay, it's just somebody that's buying them to resell them at, way inflated prices. So I bought them and I banged them up at 60% increase on value, because there was higher valued ones. I thought, well, do you know what? If he sells, and I'll move on to the next. Havard Nielsen, as I say, I picked him up in rare now. And Zinedinov, he came back to the club as well. So yeah, it's really kind of opened my eyes a little bit as to how much I had tied up in the limited. And realistically, unless you win a high-end tier two or above, you're getting cards that are going to be 5 or 10 quid. And I just don't see the value in doing that to myself, to be honest. And I know we spoke about it before, and I think maybe because I was winning in the specialist, each game week, whether it be midweek or the weekends for a few weeks, I was getting a wee bit distracted and I thought, well, do you know what? I could build. That was one thing I said to you, wasn't it? I could build an under 23 team and afford it. But then I looked at how much money was tied up in that under 23 team. I had my goalkeeper for 100 quid. I had a forward for 100 quid. I now have sold them, invested in some other rares, and I'm still sitting. I'm sitting at the moment with a balance of 0.282. And I've got probably still got a goalkeeper to sell. I've still got some higher value cards there to sell. A couple of rares still to go out the door as well. So I'm quite hopeful I can get that close to half an Ethras. And then I'll just need to do a wee bit of trading and see if I can get that last little bit to get me through and get me a second goalkeeper. So, yep, decided to move away from the limit is purely on the basis of the amount that you're needing to get to win in these competitions now is getting higher and higher. But the return on investment, Russ, we spoke about it several times. The return on investment isn't there for me. And I just thought, you know what, let's go back to just playing specialist. That way I'm not distracted by trying to fill out six teams, missing DNPs, as you just mentioned, and things like that. Because I had several DNPs at the weekend or substitutes and things like that. It was just too much. So I'm going to be back to, at the moment, three teams, maybe four, if I could squeeze an underdog team in. But otherwise, I'm going to be all-star rare. And it's a very strong team this week. As I posted on Twitter, if only SV Riyadh weren't playing RB Salzburg this weekend, I'd actually feel very confident with maybe getting a prize in that one. But so long as I hit ETH, that's all. That's the target. Hit ETH and then move on from there. So I've got that. I've got an underdog team, which is actually a strong team. It's not leftovers anymore. I've actually built to have a second team, and it's been built around, right, okay, I've got good players. Yeah, they're under 50 at the moment, but some of these guys have just moved club, so it's allowed me to fill in there. And my specialist team, and I've got some really good players in the specialist one. So my Ibiza goalkeeper went under 40. Perfect. He's in the goal. I've got a defender from Union Berlin whose scores from last season weren't great, but I mean, they're sitting third in the league, I think, at the moment. They held Bayern Munich at the weekend 1-1 at home, and that was first against second before Dortmund had played early. So it has, I've got two decent players in my under 40s, and then I've got Marcelino Nunes, I've got Havard Nielsen, and I can't remember who my fifth man is. I think it's either, is it Sven Van? No, it's Gregory Withrich I put in there. So from Sturm Graz at the back, he's on an last five average of 65. So I've got him in there. Actually, so yeah, 65. So I've got him in there as well. So it's a strong team that I've got sitting in there. So let's hope I can start pushing back onto the prizes in that one.
Well, the thing is that if you do get in amongst the prizes, you know yourself that there's a big difference between even the worst tier three sort of rares or whatever like that. At least you're hopefully still looking 30, 40, £50. Now, the money's already been invested and taken out in our cases, but for other guys that are playing it, when the money's invested and it's still sitting in there, I think I've seen a couple of posts on Twitter and it was just, you just shake your head and I try not to get involved in things, but two different types of posts. One was a limited guy posting about his limited success. He'd spent £7,000 on yellow limited cards. These are cards that are rolling out every single day, becoming less and less valuable. He spent £7,000, and don't get me wrong, I think he won, I don't know, 300 quid card or 400 quid card as a prize, but I'm just looking at that and thinking, do you know what? For me, that's bonkers. That's bonkers. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then I've got
Right.
them.
Just on that
On you
one,
go.
Russ, just you sent me a screenshot on Monday night, and it was Joey Veerman's limited card, and it was sitting in auction with 7 minutes to go at £814. At the same time as I had just messaged you to say, I'm looking at a second goalkeeper, and I'm looking at one that's costing me about 800 quid.
Crazy.
And that is the difference between basically having a rare goalkeeper in your all-star team at the moment almost guarantees you to get at least the lower ETH if you've got a decent other players and they're all playing. But it should help you to get to the higher one most weeks. So to spend that amount of money to maybe get a 5 quid card or a 10 quid card if it's a low-end tier three, or to get fucking nothing because the prizes are not worth as much, or the points have gone up so much. It seems a wee bit crazy when you look at that end of things. And I don't think, as we mentioned before, I don't think that was ever the intention when they launched the limiteds, was that some of these cards were still going to be costing four figures. I don't think that was the intention,
Well,
but it's how it's
that's
ended up.
yeah, it's kind of crazy money. And looking at that, and I sent you that just as an example, as I say, because I was like, wow, I can't believe people are still paying that for that, was just my exact thoughts. You know, I've picked up a super rare under 23 midfielder that's in the Eredivisie that's got a very good chance of probably getting a move. He's in Dutch under 21s as well. And I picked him up today for 200 and, I think, £220. Just to put it into context, that's a super rare. So I've picked him up at a quarter of the price that someone's basically played for a Joey Veerman Limited. And do you know what? I know Joey Veerman's a great player, and I know he's got good scores, but it's a flipping limited card. We've mentioned the fact that there's now, in most of the competitions, anything between, you know, 10, 25, 30,000 people. They've all got the same cards. You know, at the top end, you're competing against, you know, another, I don't know, 400 people that are all got Veerman. They've all got, you know, Pavlidis until his injury. They've all got, you know, these sort of Eredivisie superstars, you know, Timber and Kenny Taylor at Ajax and things. So you're coming up against guys that have got three or four of those cards, because if you're going to spend £800 on one, you're going to spend £800 or £500 on another couple. So I think, for, you know, we've obviously had a wee bit of fun with the limiteds, I think it's fair to say, and we did have a lot of fun over the summer. But that was before European football returned. And I think that's obviously just put into context that I can see myself having a wee bit of fun again next summer when there's lack of football, just to have more teams with the limited cards again. But I've obviously no idea what kind of cost or price they're going to be. But in the main, when all the football's on, to be honest with you, I am going to run and continue with the specialist limited team, because I do see that as actually quite rewarding. And I'm probably going to have enough cards continually to always put in an all-star team as well. But in the main, for me, I kind of stress that to anybody that's kind of around about that sort of 2K level of investment or above. You've got to be looking up the way, not down the way. You know, and I think just as I sold off some limited cards today, and I know that there'll be a lot of guys listening that have also bought limited cards. As I've been selling off this week, I've noticed quite a marked drop in not so much the ETH price, because obviously ETH's been so sort of volatile over the past 3 or 4 months, but certainly on the fiat price, which is what I always trade and keep track of. And I have lost some money on these limited cards. But on the flip side, I now have it. I would probably say actually locked and cemented in the fact that I won't pay over the odds, and I won't pay sort of a premium price for a limited card again. I think I'm now at peace with the fact that I've had a bit of fun with it. I probably overindulged slightly over the summer, overspent slightly on the summer, but moving forward, I can't see me ever going in and buying, like, you know, a limited card for like £40 again or anything. Maybe 10, maybe 15, maybe £20 if somebody was doing great. But for me, I'm trying to look up the way. I'm trying to get actively into under 23 Pro and Challenger Pro. That will be the two pro competitions that I will play, certainly between now and sort of February, March. And then I'll maybe consider looking at the MLS. I kind of feel that my MLS knowledge is getting stronger and stronger with every sort of passing week, and actually watching more games and things as well. So I think that probably covers certainly a lot to do with galleries and players and a bit about strategy. Do you want to touch sort of on the Serrair, the positive and the negative? So the new announcement maybe being the positive, but the negative around the prizes?
Well, I think for most of the guys that are listening, the negative is obviously going to be the fact that the rewards were delayed almost, well, it wasn't quite 24 hours, but you know, usually we get them, what, about 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the afternoon of the game window closing. But today we got them this morning, which is Wednesday. So we got them the following day. And they did say, you know, Dan had posted up a little bit saying there'd been, you know, critical technical issues that caused it. And he said he gave a list of reasons that it could have been and what have you. But either way, it happened. However, when we did get them through, the ETH had dropped from, I think it was about 1460 at one point yesterday, 1460 to one ETH, down to 1320 today. So you were talking a 10% drop in what the ETH value was from yesterday to now. However, they posted that basically they pegged the $25 and $50 at the 11 a.m. yesterday, British time. The 11 a.m. cutoff then was where they set the amount at, which for the higher, which is what I got, was the 0.03, and the lower 0.015. That was then 10% less than what it would have been. I think today, instead of it being 42 quid, it came through as about 37 and change. Now, okay, that's 5 quid, and you know, it's easy to dismiss it when you're sitting, you know, like my gallery's sitting at 3 and a bit grand, and I've got 5 and a bit grand out, and all these things. But when I look at it and think of how many guys are really fighting to get through these thresholds on a weekly and lose 5 quid off of it, that it's a lot, you know, it's over the season, that could be a lot of money if that was to happen every single week. Do you know what I mean? Now we've benefited from it some weeks where it's dropped and we've got it increased the next day. So it is rough with the smooth, and it, you know, they have done the right thing in terms of there has to be a cut-off, you know. So if you're getting the rewards on the same day, fair enough. You get them the next day and it's a 10% drop, it's not, it wouldn't have cost them any more. Do you know what I mean? If they're going to just buy $50 worth of ETH to get it to me, it's not going to cost them any more. However, you know, we kind of lost out a little bit there. But the other thing I was thinking, Russ, was, and I, you know, it's sometimes people find it hard to have sympathy with some of them, but see the guys that are winning big prize money, especially like, I think, you know, the unique levels and things like that, where they're getting a multiple of, you know, ETH, like 3.5 or whatever. That 10% is an enormous difference.
Definitely.
You know? So I seen that this morning. I think it was You'll Never Walk Alone posted up, and I think it was 3.6 ETH or something he got for one of the prizes. And it's, that's an astronomical money. It's about 500 quid to drop off. And if that was me, that was my first car plus about 10 tanks of fuel. Do you know what I mean? So it's an enormous amount of money to just wipe off and not acknowledge it, really. So yeah, that was a bit of a grievance, Russ. I don't know. Obviously, it didn't really affect you this week on
No.
a positive note.
Yeah. Do you know what irked me just again, and I'm not gonna sit and make this sort of like moaning channel or anything, but we've had all this communication stuff. We keep hearing from the boss and we keep hearing from community managers. And we had all those issues yesterday, which are blamed on technical things and stuff. And then today we've obviously got a new sport rolled out. Now, obviously, I had a tech company and I used to have developers that worked for me. And I know basically when you're doing testing and things immediately before launching stuff, other things tend to suffer and fail. And for me, it just kind of looked and you know what? Sometimes, I don't know, I'm maybe based being, I don't know, maybe try to put my detective, my Columbo hat on or whatever. But for me, it kind of looks as though these two things could be linked, just reading between the lines. And again, like you say, certainly I know one manager that was waiting for his very first prize ever, and he was sitting and it was he was quite antsy and waiting and messaging and saying, yeah, I've won, but I've not got my prize yet and things. It's all about game experience as well. You know, we're floating new sports, we're promoting it everywhere. I think a couple of guys, a couple of other content guys had I think Quinny put something up at Celtic Park where there was the new Scottish cards were on the billboards there, and there's other guys who've basically been putting things, you know, up at Spate, up in some of the Spanish grounds and things. And there's so much positive sort of advertising and promotion going on, but then when people are actually landing on the platform, as we'll class it, in the game itself, there are still quite a lot of sort of niggly negatives. And I don't know. I also feel. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I tend to find that there's maybe an element of a wee bit of a split. I feel that there's more than one rare community, if I'm being honest, in just in the social media world. I feel there's maybe two or three that are sort of just, you know, different levels of the game. You'll see the reaction to whoever posts. So whether it's us that post or whether it's some of the other content creators, but there's obviously there seems to be like little. Not cliques, but you know, I'm not expecting Kevin Nash and Scott Hall to walk in and we're getting NWO for life and stuff. But yeah, I'm kind of seeing just little patterns. And you know, I remember this obviously from being one of the first guys on Football Index and myself and a few other guys, you know, Spectre and stuff and things that played that, you know, making quite a power of money on that. But then just seeing the journey of all the support for the company and us all pushing it at every opportunity, and then things starting to go wrong, and some of us sort of changing tack, and some of us being critical, and some of us not, some of us just still towing the party line and things. And then obviously the community becoming a little bit splintered. So I do see, I don't know if it's splintered, but I see it slightly fragmented. I think there are people kind of siding and stuff. So I don't know if you've seen it or not, but I think I've noticed it.
Yeah, I've seen an element of it. I've also got people blocked, so I don't see a lot of other things. Because I don't care for a lot of it. So yeah, I can see where you're coming from. The one thing that kind of gets my goat a wee bit. Not going on a proper rant here, Russ. I'm just going
Good.
to sound
Okay.
off a little bit. But when I see the same things every time, there's a Saria post. Every time there's a Saria post, the same people are coming on going, you know, with the posts about, oh, are you sorting the insider trading yet? Oh, have you sorted this? Oh, have you sorted that? Do you know what? If you fucking hate the platform so much, sell up and leave. Sell up and leave. If you don't like it that much, just go. But you don't go. And if you do go, you're back in a couple of days. So when I see that, oh, I'm selling up and everything like this, I do get very tediously bored by that. And usually where I see that more than once from somebody, the mute button has gone on. Or if I see it more than that, I just block and it's done. I don't never have to see it. I don't have time for the negativity around it. Eh? So yeah, we've spoke about several things in the last 24 weeks, and we've not, early doors, we're maybe sitting on the fence a bit more, but I'd probably say since week six or seven onwards, we've just said it as it is, because we were a wee bit concerned, as we've said, early doors, about worrying about, oh, building the audience and things like that. But do you know what? If you don't like it, don't listen. It's no skin off my nose. I'm sitting having a conversation with my mate. I'm a winner at the end of the day because I'm sitting chatting to my mate. He's chatting to me. He maybe not feel so much of a winner, but it's one of those things. So yeah, if you're constantly moaning about the platform, honestly, just leave. Just leave it. If it's causing you that much aggro, just go. And don't have to worry about shutting the door behind you because somebody else will be coming in a minute. So
Yeah.
speaking of which, Russ, and new users coming in,
A new door opens.
the new door does indeed open. I think you may use the line a couple of weeks ago and I used it completely incorrectly, but one door closes, another opens. But yep, let's see, basketball is arriving on the platform. And that was another Wednesday bit of news from Syria. And it always seems to be Wednesdays that these big news items come out, whether it be, oh, we're going to drop the Scottish League, or oh, we're launching baseball, oh, we're launching this, oh, we're doing a community update. We've had several occasions where we've had to put things in last minute to the podcast. And yeah, baseball launched, what, about when did the cards come out for that? About 6 7 weeks ago, they started getting the cards, I think.
Maybe, yeah, maybe
And
about that.
the basketball one now says it's coming out in fall. So that's another sport, another massive sport in America, coming out onto the Surreal platform. Now, again, I've seen the same posts on it. And again, the rewards, people were saying the same things. If you can't get your basics right on this one, why are you doing this one? And I sometimes think, do people not realize they're potentially hurting the platform by posting that onto those ones? But I can get why they're doing so. Because if I'm a new, if I'm an NBA fan and I see the Saria thing, just like when you told me about it, what, 18 months ago now, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay. And then you go and have a look at it, and all you see is people saying, oh, the platform's shit, you're not doing rewards properly and all this stuff. I'd be like, yeah, pass. I'm not going to invest my money in this. So that's one side of it. However, I think it's another sport. It's another set of eyeballs. People who will have had no interest in soccer or, actual football. It brings more people into the platform, potentially more users that might spill over into the football platform, spill over into the baseball platform, and help boost each one. I think the saying is, high tides rise all ships. And the more people coming into the platform, the higher the tide. We should all be a bit more buoyant. So I have very little basketball knowledge other than back in the day with NBA Live 95. And enjoying playing those and all the NBA jams and things. I think NBA Jam was an all-time classic. But beyond that, I don't generally have an awful lot of, some of the massive names. You obviously Kobe Bryant passed away and things like, some of these kind of names. But if you were to say to me, who's the starting center for, I don't even know, does San Antonio still have a team? Because that's the team I used to like playing as in NBA Live. Do they, who's the starting center? Fuck knows. I couldn't tell you any of that stuff, Russ. So have you got any basketball knowledge, or are you going to claim to have any basketball knowledge? Are you going to come out with some nonsense here?
Not really.
No.
I played a lot of the. I'm wanting to think it would have been PlayStation games, NBA, and the net would go on fire and things like that
Oh,
when you went.
that was NBA Jam.
Oh, was that Jam? Right. Okay. Yes.
NBA.
Yeah, so I used to play that quite a lot. Used to play that in the lads' flats and stuff and things like that back in the day. What console would that have been on then?
I think it first came out on the Super Nintendo, and then I think it came out on the Mega Drive afterwards. There was a port of it over to the Mega Drive.
I think it would have been later than that then. It
Later than
must have
that,
been like a PlayStation 1, maybe.
quite possibly, but I know the early ones were Super Nintendo, I believe, was the first one.
If I think about basketball, and just being as honest as I can, if I think about basketball, I can remember some of the players the more I think about it. If I sat for an hour and had to jot down 100 names, I probably could, but I'd have to really think about it. However, the names that kind of when I th think basketball, so obviously Air Jordan comes to mind because of the trainer range and things.
Yeah.
So Michael Jordan was obviously, he was amazing. Dennis Rodman, obviously, and then I'm going into the NWO and
Yeah. Karl
the
Malone.
WCW. I'm going over there and stuff and kicking about with Hogan. That was obviously huge, and I think that made a massive impact into the actual the wrestling side of the business and things as well, having
Yeah.
him being such a superstar. But Rodman, Magic Johnson, and then one of the favorites, and I always remember playing with this guy just in the NBA Jam game. And he was a tiny wee guy. You know how it was like obviously the guys were all they were all like 6'10" and stuff. And there was this little guy called Damon Stoudamire. And I just always remember using him in the game. And he just used to be able to get like brilliant three pointers in the game. And it's like one of those little cheat code players.
Yeah.
So yeah, just I don't watch basketball at all. And it's on Sky quite a lot. There's a lot of coverage on Sky, but I don't watch it at all. I've obviously watched over the course of things on YouTube in the past to do with the Harlem Globetrotters and stuff and things. And there'll be, for me, I don't know how much of the British sort of or the European audience will watch a lot of basketball. However, like you say about the sets of eyes, I see a massive crossover with baseball, basketball. And surely you've got to think that the NFL will come with that as well. And that will give them the hat trick of sort of the main three sports there. And then you would like to think off the back of that, their MLS uptake, probably at the start of the new season, will get a massive uplift on the back of, do you know what? We're playing Serie A, we're playing basketball, would be as well having a soccer team. You just, I'm guessing that's the marketing guys. And the board have sat around the table and going, right, okay, where are we needing to grow? Where are we needing revenue coming in from? Where have we got our licensing sort of sorted and things? So they've obviously got their MLS licenses and they've got these things in the leagues in South America that they've been slowly but surely building. So you would think that they would need to, ideally the numbers and the user base to kind of to back that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Nicholas had posted up a post saying about they had to accelerate their plans because I think there was something else coming up in the same scope or the same area.
Or maybe
So they
Top
had to
Shot or something doing something.
quite possibly. So they
Yeah.
had to accelerate their plans for it. Yeah, I think that was definitely something to take into consideration when this probably wasn't the time they were going to launch it, but it's what's happening now. And again, I would probably be more inclined to pick something up on the basketball side than I have been with the baseball one. The
Yeah, I
reason
think I'll go for it.
I've been playing the casual one, and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm picking the ones with the highest averages, the most games. And last week, I think it was 27,000 entries into the common one. And I was like 26,000th. So, that's how bad it is. I finished 2,000th one week and I thought I did well. So yeah, I've no knowledge and no interest in that one. Again, I've no knowledge with the basketball one, but I think I'd probably be more inclined. I wouldn't fall asleep watching it as I would when I see on ESPN that the baseball's on and I watch it, and I actually find it more tedious than cricket. And I think as a Scotsman, that takes some going for to find it more tedious than cricket. Interesting little Dennis Rodman note, Russ. He actually skipped the practice for the NBA playoffs in 97 to go to Nitro and be part of Hogan's entourage.
Did
Yeah,
he?
he
Legend.
skipped the practice for that. And they obviously had massive, because that goes to show how big, the basketball stars were, because Rodman and Karl Malone
That's
were
right.
wrestling on, highest rated TV shows in, on a Monday night in America. And it was just wild to see that kind of crossover, at that time. I mean, obviously you fast forward to now and it's a different climate. But yeah, I think it'll be something. And hopefully, as I say, if it brings more eyes to the platform, more buyers to the platform, more wallets to the platform, it's the same small prize, same small pool of rares that they're going to be picking from if they want to come over to there, which should, in theory, if you go by economics, it should in theory lift those prices. So yeah, I think that'll be quite interesting. One thing, just as another aside, Russ, and this wasn't on the agenda, but it's just reminded me, they do seem to have slowed the rate of the new cards when they are launching the leagues now. Whereas it was, all these leagues were launching and there seemed to be a rare finishing every couple of minutes. They've slowed it right down. They've gone back to full alphabetical order and it's taken its time to get through players. So that's why I was saying, if you look at the Bundesliga 2 or if you look at the Ligue 2 in France, you'll see that there are, maybe only two rares for some of the cards and some of them are still in their first issue. So yeah, they have taken heed, I think, of people's concerns and they have slowed that down, which is good to see. Pretty fucking annoying when you're waiting on certain cards to come round, though. So, speaking of new cards, I would imagine the Scottish League's going to be coming soon, Russ. And I guess on that note, shall we look a little bit towards the Scottish news from last weekend and then some transfer news? Or do you want the transfer news first?
I've got a few things just on the transfers in
Yeah,
relation
let's do that.
to cards in the game. So the window closed just after we recorded last week. There wasn't an awful lot of movement. However, I've got seven cards within the game that will probably affect the sort of player base. So Oliver, I think is it Abildgaard that you pronounce it, left Rubin Kazan and joined Celtic on a loan deal. He has a card in the game. It's not the cheapest. It's coming in round about 0.27 at the moment, so not affordable for all, I appreciate. Also, not sure if he's going to. They've signed quite a few players now. They seem quite midfield heavy, I would say. Not sure quite how that's all going to work out with who's going to play and who's not going to play, other than you would expect Callum McGregor to play every week, being the captain. A card that I hold, Kukoveric, who left Troyes. He was actually in the Jupiler League on loan and he switched to Hibs. So I was actually trying to sell the card, to be perfectly honest with you. It showed he was showing some sort of promise, but he hasn't been getting an assist or a goal. So as a striker, his scores have all been orange. And I looked and thought, right, okay, I'll try and sell him. And then all of a sudden, he unexpectedly, and I didn't see anything at all around it, he moves to Hibs on loan. So he's there now. Scott Fox, a card that you used to hold, has got a
I've
red
got
cross
some
against it
deal on
now.
it.
Yeah, he's down to Queen of the South. I think it's on loan.
He's on loan. He had stepped up to being the goalkeeper coach, but then he moved out and they had a new goalkeeper coach coming today. So yeah, they did bring in was it Oxborough a couple of weeks ago. So probably the writing was on the wall for that one, to be fair. But I don't think he'd played for them for some time anyway, if he, even if he had, so.
Another one joining Nicky at St Johnstone was Conor McLennan from Aberdeen, who had kind of fallen down the pecking order a little bit. He's coming in for his rare at about 0.6. I think he got a green 60 to 65 score at the
Yeah,
weekend.
he came off the bench and won the penalty for the third goal. So yeah.
So he's moved. So he's you would like to think that he'll have relatively decent utility over the course of the season. A good friend of us both in the game, both for buying and selling, David Bates leaves Aberdeen finally for Mechelen.
Yep.
Got that one. And then the last two I've got are both in relation to Hearts, and that was obviously Robert Snodgrass, which there's a small selection of very early edition cards, has joined Hearts from Luton. I think it was his West Ham card. I think it's he's in the game,
Is.
isn't it? Yeah,
Yeah,
it
I
is.
had that
Yeah,
last October, actually.
that's right. And then Xander Clark going into Hearts clearly as number two to Craig Gordon, but maybe a sort of longer term succession plan there.
I think it would be a longer term succession plan. I also haven't looked at the early season games, but they came off the European game and they didn't play Craig Gordon. I think they're trying, and now they're now at the point, unfortunately. I mean, he is what, 39 now, I think is
Yeah,
Craig.
might just about turn 40.
They are trying to preserve him a little bit, I think, in terms of making sure he's available for these big European games. And he'll be 40 in December, Russ. So that puts a date on us as well, doesn't it? When you think, because he seems to have been around forever now. But yeah, I think he's probably going to get a couple of league games over the course of the season, and just when they're maybe resting Craig after a big European game or before. Because there is quite a few weeks where they've got like there's a game tomorrow night or tonight as the podcast drops. They'll have a weekend game and then they've got Europe again next week and then a
Yeah.
weekend game. So that's a lot for any player. But when you're coming in towards 40, it's probably even harder. I find it hard to get out of bed in the morning, and I don't play football. I just, function. So, that's it'll be quite interesting to see if Xander does get a couple of games. When his succession would to number one would be, I probably wouldn't predict it before next season. I think we'll
No.
probably still see Craig Gordon being the number one through this season at least. But you never know what can happen. You never know what could happen. A freak injury, or he was dealing with a back strain before one of the games, and that's why he missed the other weekend. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see where that goes. Not probably the destination anybody thought, Russ, either.
No. It was I think there was still a hope from certainly from an element of the sort of the Arabs, as us Dundee United fans are known. I think there was still an element of hope that you arrived at Tannadice, given obviously our sort of latest results and things. However, we've slightly stabilised, slightly. So he's not arrived, and you would probably think now that Eriksen has the shirt at the moment for United until Bariti, I think, has got maybe a slight knock because young Jack Newman has been on the bench and things there. So
Yeah.
yeah, I had my doubts about Xander Clark going to Stoke. I've said that all along, and I honestly genuinely thought for most of the window that he was going to go to United. I noticed him thanking his agents and Jackie McNamara on Twitter for getting the deal to Hearts done. I kind of feel a wee bit sorry for some of the guys that are like holding the rear card and things to an extent, because I think they probably would have hoped for a different club in truth, but
Yeah.
at least he's got a club.
Yeah, that he has, that he has. But yeah, we'll see how it pans out in the future. I mean, we're only game week 7 this weekend coming, so we'll see how it all unfolds. But looking at last weekend, Russ, just briefly, obviously, I think your Aussie goalkeeper Birigiti, he'd have been delighted with Celtic's 4-0 win against Rangers with his Instagram likes of. Where he got his team got to hide in, and he's liking Joe Hart's posts and stuff. But yep, 4-0 Celtic against Rangers, which was probably possibly flattered Rangers a little bit,
Yeah,
dare I
definitely.
say. Celtic, obviously last night they played against Real Madrid. Now they did lose 3-0, but that first half of football Celtic played against Real Madrid, I actually felt like they played them off the park. And I think Ancelotti, the real Ancelotti, not the ASOS one, probably gave them an absolute bullet at half time, and they came out and blew Celtic away in the second half. And
Yeah.
But that first half, I felt the score was pretty harsh on Celtic that one. So, yep, 4-0, and that's a 5-point gap, and is it 17 goals better off they are as well than Rangers already? So, yep, champions elect, shall we say, St Johnstone, with a 3-0 win in the Battle of the Saints against St Mirren. Shutting my puss firmly, Russ, with their early season antics. So they're up to ninth. I did predict them would be bottom, so they're not terribly far away, but a 3-0 win. Obviously Nicky Clarke scored, having, as we said, made his debut. But yeah, that was quite a maybe a surprising result, Russ.
I've always thought, and I know that we've kind of had contrasting views on both St Johnstone and Aberdeen, and Aberdeen are proving kind of you right and me wrong, and St Johnstone are kind of proving me right and you wrong, or the other way about. I don't know. I'm tired and it's late, and I think I maybe got that all wrong. However, we both had a club, and I thought St Johnstone would do okay, and you didn't, and I didn't think Aberdeen would do particularly well this season, and they are, and you know, to be fair, St Johnstone's one of those clubs that you know I had family members that used to play for them and captain the side. So I'm you know probably a little bit pro St Johnstone. I also remember many of our listeners won't know this, but I don't know if you remember when St Johnstone filled their crowd with all the characters from the Beano cutouts. Like it was a huge
Cardboard cutouts, yes.
cardboard cutouts of Minnie the Minx and Dennis the Menace and Corky the Cat, and it was a full crowd for a stand, was all fake cardboard cartoon characters, which was immense. And I'll be honest, I've actually tried many a time to find some sort of image or something of it online just so that you can kind of prove it. So if MD does have anything that listens that's ever seen it, please upload it to the pod Twitter or whatever. But good to see for me, you know, if given the choice, do I prefer St Johnstone or St Mirren? I prefer St Johnstone. I think, like you say, with the Celtic and the Rangers, we've said from day one, both of us have said it loud and clear many, many times, and we've no bias to either of the Old Firm. And I know that you don't, and certainly I know that I don't either. But Celtic are streets ahead of Rangers as a team, and that's been found out again tonight, just as we're recording. Obviously, it's now what, 9:45 on a Wednesday night, and Rangers have been whacked by Ajax tonight, and I think it was four, possibly going on 6 or 7. I spoke with a sort of work colleague that's a Rangers fan that does, I think, bits and bobs and communications with like their pods and stuff and things. And I said to him just last week, I was like, do you know what? I thought that Van Bronckhorst, Gio, one of the big mistakes he's made is he has had round about 10 to 12 years experience as an assistant manager or a manager in that Eredivisie, and he has not picked up a single Dutch league or Dutch player. And I said that in a wee group chat as well. And one of the Rangers fans came back and went, maybe he didn't feel that any of the Dutch players were good enough. And I'm like, are you joking me? Do you know what I mean? It's like, come on. You know, you've got guys over there that were free agents this summer that, you know, that are miles better than what's in sort of certainly most of the Scottish League, but certainly they would come in and either be at least a good squad player that they could have had for free rather than paying some of the fees that they've paid for some of the players. And I just find it astonishing that someone with so much experience in that league and being Dutch himself has not picked up a single player from that league or of the nationality. So that kind of confuses me.
Or a goalkeeper, for that matter, Russ.
Or a goalkeeper, or a
I
goalkeeper.
think that's where they're lacking horribly this season. McLaughlin with a horror mistake at the weekend, and he almost did exactly the same thing again tonight. Almost, and he got away with it tonight, just, but it was almost exactly the same thing. And I think that is a massive problem area. And when I said, you know, on the podcast, I was ridiculed for saying I think Hearts could get close or get, you know, possibly overhaul Rangers. Well, it looks like Aberdeen could get close to that as well. You know, Aberdeen, Hearts, and Motherwell are all on 10 points, and Rangers are on 13 now. So you've got a lot of teams there that are hovering away, and Celtic are already blowing teams away. 6 out of 6 wins, you know.
I
So.
think you're absolutely right with that. And one of the key things is Rangers' next league game is the trip to Pittodrie. Now, there are quite a few managers over the course of sort of the Rangers' history in our lifetime that have survived three defeats in a row, and there are a few that have survived four. But I don't think since 1980 there is a manager for Rangers that has survived five games without a win, including European competition. I would have to double check it, but I'm pretty certain there's not been. So Gio's now, obviously, I don't think he's quite as secure. Don't get me wrong, them qualifying for the Champions League, I totally, I didn't expect them to beat PSV over the two legs, and they did. But PSV didn't perform. It wasn't the PSV that most of the people that have been playing this game certainly and followed the Eredivisie for, you know, for say like 18 months, for me, that was a wee bit of an unexpected result. And fair play to Rangers, you know, they've done the coefficient well and things, and they've got in the Champions League and they've got all that cash to bolster the coffers and probably secure the sort of stability of the club and things. But for me, I can just see them getting absolutely, well, there's what's, I think Napoli's, what, 4 or 5-1 up on Liverpool, are they?
It was 4-1 when I looked a minute
four,
ago.
4-1 up on Liverpool. And you've got to look and think, wow, you know, Rangers have still got these guys to play. I can only see them getting absolutely blown away in the Champions League. They might be lucky enough to get the odd point here or there at Ibrox, but between that and domestic forum, I don't know if Gio's going to survive till Christmas. Only time will tell, I guess.
We'll see, yeah, absolutely. Other Scottish scores, just to run through them, Motherwell 0-0 with Dundee United. As I mentioned, Kevin Van Veen had 10 shots in that game and missed a penalty. But Eriksen did well and kept a clean sheet. And yeah, United still looking for a manager, so we'll see how that pans out in the coming week, I guess. They've still not appointed anybody yet. So I think it's the Liam Fox is still the, him and Duncan Ferguson were the clear favourites, but we'll see, we'll see. I'm still hoping for a Billy Dodds or something like that, just to really, really annoy you. Hibs beat Kilmarnock 1-0. And that was Joe Newell, I think, got this goal there. Yeah,
it
he did.
Was, yeah.
Newell got the goal from a free kick.
Solid card kick in the game.
Took a free kick, came back to him, and he scored it from the second attempt. Ross County and Aberdeen 1-1 with two tremendously late goals. Duke with a goal, assisted by Johnny Hayes again. Johnny Hayes vastly underpriced at the moment. His age obviously counts against him, being 35, I think. But he's getting some decent scores. And then the man who scored who missed a shot from the goal line for the Canadian team, William Echo, he scored the equaliser in the 95th minute. And then you've got Livingston 1-0 against Hearts. So probably a shock scoreline there for Hearts. I know Nielsen wasn't particularly chuffed with it, but got to dust themselves off because Thursday night they're playing a massive game at home. 5:45 kickoff. You've got to feel bad for the Hearts fans. I understand if it was 5:45 and they're playing in Turkey where there's a time difference. A game shouldn't be getting played at 5:45 in Scotland.
No.
Absolutely no reason for that other than TV. But yeah, we'll see how they play there. So as you mentioned this weekend, Russ, Aberdeen Rangers. Rangers coming off the back of 2 4-0 defeats. So we'll see how that one goes. Celtic play Livingston. I would expect nothing more than the Celtic steamroller to keep rolling. United Hibs is an intriguing one. Could United pull out their first win of the season and you know, try and move themselves off the bottom of the table in that one, Russ?
I predict a draw.
Oh, I was thinking a draw as well.
Score draw.
Are you going to score draw? I was going no score draw.
Well, I don't know if you've seen in a, not to sort of endorse gambling or anything, but I put on a small coupon at the weekend and it came up when Aberdeen scored. Now, the bet didn't actually win. I actually lost, but I cashed out when Aberdeen scored with like 2 minutes to go and won the bet, which was a three-figure win, which was quite nice. And then Ross County went and equalised to lose the bet. So, yeah, just I've actually been putting on my predictions and things and had quite a wee bit of success the last couple of weeks. But I think, like you say, Celtic will blow Livingston away, I would think, especially with the Celtic being at home. United Hibs have gone for a score draw.
And then we've got Kilmarnock and Johnston. I've got Nicky Clark and I'm tempted to have him captained. But that plastic pitch is one of those ones where it can throw up freak results. However, Kilmarnock will be out without Ash Taylor, which is a big loss for them. So, you know, if Nicky gets a goal, Nicky, if you're listening, you get me a goal and you'll be due a beer. Or a non-alcoholic one if you're looking for a friendly beverage for the diet. Ross County Motherwell, Russ. Kevin Van Veen is in the side again. Surely got to be looking to make amends after that 10-shot performance and 0 goals last week. But
I think he's going to frustrate you because I think he wants to leave your gallery.
He does not want to leave my gallery. Well, he does if the right offer comes in. Anybody's
for sale. There you go.
Everybody's for sale. And then finally, we've got Hearts against St Mirren. And again, it's going to be a weird Hearts. You know, yeah, they've brought in a few extra midfielders, as you mentioned, Rustin. They're probably midfield heavy, but they're also defence light because of all the injuries they've had. So that they're going to be key. I seen an interesting stat saying they've not really won a game since when Halkett's been out. So that'll be a big one to see when they can get him back. But that's all the Scottish news I've got, Russ. And I don't really have anything else to add to the podcast tonight. Is there anything else you'd like to throw
Just on a
in?
final note for me, just obviously both the competition winners have been in touch, and the three cards have now departed my gallery and are in the galleries of the winners. So well done to those guys. And thankfully, one of the listeners that hadn't claimed his prize, he listened to the pod just, I think it was a little later. I think he was on holiday. So he was in touch this morning and verified it, no problem. So he's got his mini United sort of under 23 breakthrough stack of Graham and Mikkelsen that have joined his gallery. So, Neil, all good there. And that's all I've got.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for listening, guys. It's been a bit of a longer episode tonight or today, whenever you listen to it. And yeah, enjoy your game weeks. Take care, and we'll speak to you all again soon.